T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Wake up! Wake up! Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
So it is with pleasure that we look forward to Thursday.
Well, it is draft day.
It is with a little excitement, enthusiasm, and dare I say optimism that we look toward the Bears draft. We've been talking about it for a very long time, and it couldn't come any sooner.
Well, I'm sitting here eating my pancakes, thinking about number one.
I am very interested in how that plays out.
You make this deal right now, Tom, and you get
Caleb Williams.
Say it with me. You get
Caleb.
Come on, Tom, say it with me, you pancake eating.
But that second pick, are they going to help him by getting him a weapon? Are they going to help him by getting him protection, or are they going the other way and are they going to get him a defense that can get him better field position, knock down the quarterback, etc.?
Defense doesn't make a splash. Sonny, people pay to get wet.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
Let's talk about the draft.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Happy draft day. Happy Caleb Williams arrival day. Happy days here again in Chicago, Mr. David.
Morning, Mully. Yes, happy draft day, Thursday, April 25th. We have been waiting for this for a very long time. All the offseason, maybe since last year ended, maybe since last summer, whenever you started looking ahead to now and anticipating Caleb Williams becoming available. He's here. And around 7:15 tonight, I think a lot of people have reason to celebrate and see what we've been waiting for.
It's the first day in forever where we're going to be able to say that the Bears have Caleb Williams as their quarterback, and we'll be saying it for 20 years.
Well, it'll be first time in a very long time, if ever, that we've been able to say the Bears have a legitimate franchise quarterback. We've been fooled before. We've been down this road of anticipation, maybe not quite like this.
We don't get fooled again.
We won't get fooled again, but I think today's a little different. Today is a little different because there is a consensus that he is the best quarterback available. He is at the top of the draft, and it's just a mere formality at this point.
Well, it's a very exciting day because no matter what, there's going to be a lot of fireworks and fun, and there's going to be a player whose fate will be tied to your fandom for a very long period
of time. Did you say no matter what? Caleb Williams, no matter what?
Sonny Weaver Jr.
Yes.
We heard him on the way in.
Underrated movie.
Great movie. Draft day.
Yes, definitely.
And
it is draft day.
It is draft day. Right. Really one of the most fun days of the year if you're an NFL fan. If you are a football fan, if you love the NFL and America is addicted to football, today is a holiday. It's a sports holiday. You can't wait until Roger Goodell gets booed. You can't wait to hear the name on the first card, which is the Bears. You just can't wait for all day full of anticipation.
You can't wait for Roger to get his hugs. It's always a good hug day.
Oh, man.
Listen, this is the marriage between two of our favorite sports, right? It is the crossroads where college football, which we love and follow, leads to the NFL, which we love more and follow closer. And so as a result, it's almost like, I mean, you think about how many Saturdays and Sundays, how much time you've put into all this stuff, It's this glorious union of these the two events. And that's why this is the best draft out of all the drafts. That's why this is the most record. There's also the nature of the sport, the putting together of different types of players and different skill sets.
No question about it.
Guys doing different things. It's building a team, and it's fun to see.
Well, it's fun because this year is a little different from a Bears fan perspective. We are so used to being cynical and skeptical of and pick apart all the things that the Bears do.
Yeah.
This is an opportunity to kind of change so much about the organization in terms of tone, in terms of content, in terms of the roster. This is a great time to be a Bears fan. They are on the verge of something pretty special. Celebrate that opportunity. As we said yesterday, it's too early to celebrate any kind of accomplishment or achievement, but you can be grateful and you can be excited about the chance that the Bears have in front of them to take of drafting a quarterback and becoming legitimate Super Bowl contenders within the next 3 to 5 years.
The beauty of it is that it's not about you. It's about letting this unfold for you. All you got to do is just stand there and accept all these glorious, wonderful gifts and accolades and awards and all the things that are heading to you.
That's a really romantic way to put it, and it's a very eloquent way to put it. I think there's another way to put it. Don't screw this up.
Just get out of your own way.
Don't
man.
Screw this up, Ryan Poles. You can't screw this
you
up.
You can't screw
you
this up.
You take Caleb Williams 1, you take your wide receiver 9, and go. Then you're laughing.
It's very simple.
Then you're laughing.
Very simple.
Then you're smiling for the next several months.
You win by turning up. You don't even have to. You want to do something fun later. You want to mess around. Do what you must.
Don't overthink it.
Don't overthink it.
Don't overdo it.
Take the gimme.
Don't
off you go.
Try to prove that you're the smartest guy in the room. You don't have to be to grasp the obvious tonight. You're going to make the pick everyone expects at number one. And I don't think you want to get too cute or fancy after giving it a lot more thought and talking about it a lot more, looking at it deeper at number 9, it's a fairly easy decision to make if right. You're sitting there and everything has gone the way that you expect.
That's it. A lot of good things could be happening for you tonight, and all you got to do is don't mess it up. That's it.
Don't
it's a very
mess
simple
it
thing.
Up.
I'm very pumped up. I'm very excited. We have seen bad decisions in Chicago before. We have seen a team that has a boogeyman position. Let's call the quarterback position the boogeyman position. And it's been years and years and years of kind of going through the NFL, going through seasons, knowing that you're not quite where you need to be, hoping that this can overcome that. And it feels finally like it is the Bears' moment, like they have something that's coming to them that people have waited a long time for, and it's just a question of being there to receive the blessing you are about to get.
Yeah, I think that's what is a source of all the excitement, and historically speaking, not to go way, way back, but it does, you can compare it to the feeling if you're a Blackhawks fan, just most recently getting sure. Connor Bedard. If you're a Bulls fan, you felt this way when they drafted Derrick Rose.
Sure.
If you're a Bears fan, I don't know what else you compare it to, because drafting first overall is not something that you have done. Certainly drafting first overall in a season where the quarterback is the prize is something you've never done. So you look at what other teams in town have done in this position and how they've taken advantage of it, and that's what's exciting. The Bears, everybody's team, the most popular team in town, they have a chance tonight to make the kind of history that allows you to suspend cynicism just for a little bit.
It allows you to dream.
And to think anything's possible.
Does. Yeah, it allows you to kind of fantasize and dream. You know, the reality of life will come soon enough, and you'll see the kind of bumps and bruises along the way and all the other elements of it. But this is a glorious day.
He's a likable guy, too. I think the more you hear from him, the
more...
he
was great yesterday.
He was great. The more you like, he was out in Detroit, yes, at the Play 60 event and interacting with young fans, young people at the draft for that purpose with the top picks. You saw him interacting with Roma Dunze. You saw him having fun with the media attention paid to him. The Denzel Washington story was hilarious. The fact that you got a quarterback that's coming to town that is dropping Denzel Washington's name casually into conversation. This guy's a star. He's a celebrity.
Yeah, he's a celebrity.
He's going to maybe rub a few people the wrong way, maybe more than a few, but I also think that he's got this sort of magnetic personality, this kind of charisma that's an easy confidence that's very easy to like. And yesterday he came across pretty relatable.
He was very relaxed. I felt like he was having fun with the whole thing, and I felt like he even talked about his work ethic quite a bit. He talked about how hard he's going to work and how committed he is to being a great player, and that's the stuff you want to hear.
That's the stuff you want to hear, and I think that's the stuff that people assume, perhaps incorrectly, that here this guy is coming in, a lot of flamboyance.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to talk about what he's going to paint on his nail, on his pinky nail, what suit he's going to wear, and he's going to wear a dress and all those things. And then you hear him talk about just getting to work, just being a grinder. And I think you'd like to hear that from your quarterback. You want him to be a guy who is first in and last out.
What did you think of light navy blue for his suit?
I think it's a good choice.
See, I think light navy blue is kind of royal blue. Isn't it? Is there such a thing as light navy?
I don't know if there's light navy.
A color? Yeah. Is it royal blue?
Wait and see. I think he'll probably look pretty much like a distinguished gentleman.
Okay.
My sense is his sense of style is something that he's proud of, and he likely has had.
Silver accent?
A little silver accent. Okay. And he's probably had a lot of input into what he's going to wear tonight. And I hope he goes for the stylish, understated look rather than the audacious, gaudy appearance. It'll be fun. It'll be fun to hear him.
Yeah, it's fun.
Handle himself and see how he does. And I'm a lot of intrigue surrounding the ninth pick, because in most years that would be enough to command our attention. Tonight it's going to be a double dose of fun and excitement, and we're going to have to be locked in late.
Oh, yeah. We'll be locked in.
It'll be a long night.
It's okay.
It's all right.
We'll take a nap. Kevin Warren's going to be here. The Bears president is going to be visiting us in studio. What did you make of, we'll talk about it, mm-hmm. I suppose, in the pick six, but the dog and pony show. What did you think of the...
Well, that's a loaded question. Yeah, looking forward to talking to Kevin Warren at 7 o'clock. He's making the rounds a little bit, and he's mm-hmm. going to be in studio. I thought that it was dazzling from the perspective of the renderings and the video.
Yeah.
And we all talked about what we would expect and how we would react. And certainly I think that lived up to expectations. It's very impressive in terms of what they have planned, in terms of the how it looks on the lakefront and all of the things that we thought it would be. Slick presentation, the new Bears regime, if you will. They know how to send a message.
It's a good rollout. I mean,
it's a good rollout.
I'm a sucker for drawings, for rendering.
Sure.
I love the, bright stuff, and I love the video. I can't help it. I just love that stuff. The flyover shot.
They got you, right?
I got all day for that.
I think everybody kind of had the same reaction. Yeah. But the devil is in the details.
Of course.
And the rejection or resistance of it was pretty swift when you're talking about Governor Pritzker. And his response, we'll get to that at the pick six. And I think that one of the things that the challenges that the Bears face is getting people to believe that it's a worthwhile ask to need $2.3 billion in public assistance. And they'll push back at the wording of that and what exactly that means, and they'll look at the details. But it's a difficult thing still to get on board with overall, just because of the cost of it and the public part of that. And so you do get excited at the renderings, Mully, like everybody else, but there's still like a very, very big part of me that has some reservations.
Yeah, I mean, listen, 10 games a year. I love the 10 games. Maybe get a Super Bowl every 25 years. Maybe a Final Four, 10, 15 years, an aging Taylor Swift.
Well, see, that's what I thought was real. That's something I didn't think about. And I thought that was really interesting. That, like, a 20-date residency, that's pretty cool.
I don't know how realistic that is. I don't think that this is Vegas.
Summertime.
Yeah, so 20 days is a long time for one person to be.
It's not 20 straight days.
If she's staying here for 3 weeks, then her tour's not going well.
Right.
Well, I don't know that Taylor Swift is that person.
Oh, okay.
At least I don't know that I will be alive by the time she gets to that point.
As a concert venue, though, obviously people will want to play there.
Everybody wants to play the new shiny arena. But what about the limited number of seats? That's one thing. Like, why only
65,000?
I thought the Super Bowl. I thought it had a.
There was SRO room for
77. I think was the number.
So you is that just enough? Is that just get you there?
I think that's
enough. It definitely would be big enough to host a Super Bowl, or else they would not bother to the degree that they bothered. And the other aspects of it, you know, look, there are a lot. Yesterday was the unveiling. Yesterday was the rendering and the big splash, and they wanted to make it now. I think because they know they're working against the calendar.
Sure.
They've got resistance downstate, and they've got lobbying to do. They've got a lot of ground to cover, and they've got the Friends of the Parks that came out with a scathing rebuke later in the day. Tribune Editorial Board, Kevin Warren met with the Chicago Tribune Editorial Board on Wednesday afternoon. They wrote a pretty critical editorial, which is well done. That's what he's up against. That's what they're up against.
Oh, there's going to be a lot of pushback.
Absolutely, and there should be.
Should, of course.
There should
be. It's a lot of money.
A lot of money. It's a big investment, and it's a big commitment and a big ask. And I said it yesterday, and I still, after seeing it, it's still, they may get it done, but it's an audacious ask in this day and age to expect $2.3 billion in public money to help you build a dome stadium that is $3.2 billion. That's what it's worth. That's the cost of the stadium. The infrastructure is the rest.
They explained that it's not retractable because that's an extra $150-200 million, and they didn't know how often it would be used.
And they did the research. They said that it's only the teams and the, I guess, professional sports organizations that have had retractable roofs haven't used it to the point where they thought it was a worthwhile investment. And maybe that's included.
I asked for a retractable dome.
You did. I think the answer was for you, actually.
I felt like they were singling me out.
I think they did everything except for Mully, comma. This is why.
No, but I was curious as to why. I'm glad they answered that question.
Well, I think it's not an obvious question, but it's one that a lot of people wondered if you are going to go to these lengths to do what they're asking and hoping to do, why not go even further? He also quoted Daniel Burnham as we expected early on. You knew that would happen.
You have to do it.
Well,
and to answer Dustin's question, I think there's an obvious answer too, which is the sight lines and the value of the seats at 65 is probably perfect for what they need, and then having the extra SRO room and the ability to move in more temporary
capacity.
Seats. Yes.
You have to have a capacity that allows you to bid for these events.
Exactly.
But you don't necessarily have to be at full capacity every time that you open the doors or turn the lights on.
But we'll have to find out the answer to that, if that's as simple as that.
Yeah. I think with Kevin Warren coming here, there are a couple of things that you want to know is his rationale, as we heard yesterday, in terms of he's obviously self-aware, and he's understanding, and he loves the city, so he is understanding of the problems in the city and in the state, and still in that context, asking or being the front person for a project that is going to require $2.3 billion in public funding. That's got to be a difficult thing to strike a balance. You've got all these problems.
Oh, no. Believe me.
Yeah. And he's out front and center of that, so he obviously believes that there is rationale, there is a reason for that. I think to hear him articulate that again is important.
And I'm very curious about the entertainment. aspect of this and how they're, because that is a use of public land in a different fashion than we've seen before.
No doubt about it. That's something that's very, you know, important as well.
Mm-hmm.
The political landscape is very, I don't want to say unique, but it's certainly different than it has been in previous regimes and maybe projects like this. You have a situation where the mayor of Chicago, Brandon Johnson, was front and center yesterday, and obviously did another interview later in the day with Lawrence Holmes on Football Night in Chicago. So he is a front person to this, and yet politically probably doesn't have as much heft as the governor in the state.
No, he doesn't have he doesn't have any heft.
But I
wonder how he balances his sort of liberal agenda of getting money to people with this sort of thing.
That's what's inconsistent, and that's what makes this interesting.
That's
is
right.
Because this because of what you just said, this smacks of a political power play or attempt to do so on Brandon Johnson's part.
Right.
And, you know, this hasn't always been the case where the governor of the state is more powerful than the mayor of the city. And I think in this case, you have that dynamic, which makes it all the more interesting because the appetite for this in Springfield doesn't sound like it might be as great as the appetite is for this at City Hall.
Well, I mean, Chris Welsh couldn't have been more clear. He said if they put it to vote now, it would fail miserably.
Miserably.
Not only would it fail, it would fail miserably.
That's the challenge. And that's why there were eight named lobbyists, I think, in that political story. And that's why there's a lot of ground for them to cover to convince people why this makes sense and why billionaires – a billionaire family like the McCaskies need the public's assistance in building their football stadium.
Yeah, it's like I said, it was a day of bells and whistles, and you know, I sat there with jaw agape watching all the beautiful things spinning around and loved it.
Yeah, well, I loved it once I got past, you know, the absurdity of having a prayer to open up what was, we talked about it being a press conference. It was more of a presentation. It was more pep rally than press conference.
Sure.
And I think it was inappropriate to begin with a prayer. And I think that was one thing you start like, did they really do that? And then you get to the nuts and bolts of what the meat of the presentation. And then you're like, wow. So we have been critical of the Bears in the past of being clumsy with the messaging. That was a pretty slick presentation.
I often, if I'm speaking publicly or even if I'm doing this show, I will begin with a prayer. It's more of a silent prayer.
I think that's probably would have been fine.
I will pray to myself.
Yeah, I think that's – but you know what?
I do pray is my point.
I think that's fine.
And
we
all need a little help.
You're right, and you can do that. And I thank you for not bringing that to the airwaves because I would not want to begin the show every day with you.
Let's bow our heads.
No.
Dustin has a few words to say.
No.
I always used to do, you know, I have problems in life, one of which is like, I will occasionally quiet down a room and then ask someone to speak or do something like that to just put someone on the spot. So like before a holiday or something, I would quiet the table and I would ask my youngest daughter to give a prayer. It's just like it's an awesome thing to do because the person doesn't feel it that it's coming, you know.
You like the
will you bow your heads and pray with me, please?
it was out of place.
Dustin? I love that idea. I was in Mass before the Super Bowl one time, and they were doing this thing. We need someone. We need volunteers. Can someone do a reading? And I raised my hand. I raised my hand, and I said, I think he'd like to do it, to Dan Pompey. And Dan had to do the reading. I don't know why that appeals to me. I find it irresistible.
I don't know either.
Yes, and people around me don't like me for it. Dustin, I interrupted you. Please. You were about to pray.
I mean, it was something different. I was actually shocked by all the outrage about it. I was more shocked by the outrage about it than the actual
you know what the problem is.
Doing it.
It's a money ask.
Yeah,
and let's pray for money.
Is it really a money ask?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
well,
yes.
It's part of
it's a GoFundMe basically. That was a very slickly presented, well-orchestrated and choreographed GoFundMe page.
It's the separation of church and state.
I tuned into the score when that was happening. Like, it was like mid-prayer, I guess. I thought it was a bit that the afternoon show was doing, or the midday show was doing. And I was like, what is this? What? Oh, no, this is real.
Yeah.
I really thought I tuned in the middle of it, and I was like, what's going on?
The inappropriate part of it for me, I'm just speaking for me, is that you are embarking on this publicly financed project, and you have to take that into, I think, you have to have respect for everybody in that context, and I just don't think that you see very many, if any, like press situations, press conference situations like that open that way. Can you think of any?
I mean, you know, Jesus doesn't get mad much in the Bible, but I'm pretty sure he like clears the merchants out of the temple, right? I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of a bit of an issue. The old separation of church and state.
Yeah, I think that's the one thing. It was unexpected and aborted on the absurd. Yeah, and then we got down to business.
I don't want to. And like, again, I'm just saying a prayer right now that I don't say something stupid.
I'm just saying a silent prayer that we'll get the break on time.
But it is silent. It's Mully and Haw. We've got the Big Six next. Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
Let the church say amen.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Do you believe the Bears' prayers will be answered regarding their new lakefront dome? What did you make of the renderings, the video, the whole dog and pony show yesterday? How about Governor Pritzker's lukewarm response?
Stadium deals and taxpayers putting money forward for stadium deals, not particularly popular around the country. Take note that the winner of the Super Bowl this year, the team went out to try to get a stadium financed by the public, and it was rejected. And I think this is, you know, a recognition that these are private businesses, that the owners of these private businesses need to put a lot more forward in order to get, you know, have their dreams fulfilled and not just rely upon the taxpayers of Illinois to make that happen for them. Having said that, I think all of us want success for the state. We want, you know, more commerce. We want more jobs. We want our teams to be successful. So, we share all of that in common, but we've got to use our dollars wisely.
All right, a lot there. Dog and pony show, will the Bears have their prayers answered? And a comment or two there from the governor.
Yeah, listen, I'm a sucker for a dog and pony show. I said that. I thought they did a great job. I thought that the video was fantastic. I loved the drawings and the renderings. That's all the fun stuff. That the putting the dome on the roof of Soldier Field was a good video. Oh, look. That kind of stuff, you got me all day, every day. I'm on board. I love the idea. I love seeing a little imagination, and I love kind of science fiction. Let's pretend this is what the future is going to look like. All right. Look how humans get along. Look at how wonderful things are. I understand that you're always going to be floored by that kind of thing, and I'm used to it. And I allow myself that indulgence in life, and it was great. I thought they put on one hell of a show. I thought they did a really good job. And I thought that they went up there and they gave their explanation of how things are. And then I thought the governor responded with a kind of a shrug and kind of, yeah, well, that's a big ask. You know, the Bears are planning on spending 71% of the bill, whatever the numbers were. That's awesome. Build your own building and then let maybe the government help on infrastructure. But I don't see that is what they're doing here. It's like, we're going to do this. We're going to build half of it. You're going to build the other. We're going to get it done. Let's all go together. You heard from the governor. You heard from the speaker. I'm telling you, this is a huge ask. And I don't know that they're gonna get this one to work out for them. I love the show. I love the preparation, and I thought it was fun. I just don't know where it winds up.
Yeah, I don't know where it winds up. I'm really looking forward to your interview with Kevin Warren here at 7 o'clock. You'll be able to watch it on Twitch. You'll be able to listen to it. And then following that, we're going to hear from the mayor of Arlington Heights and hear his reaction to everything that's gone on and whether or not he thinks that the Bears are done potentially coming up his way or not. And the video is great. Mully, you mentioned something in your answer that I think is important and worth talking about, and this might not be the time, but I'm just going to put it out there and we can get to it later if you guys deem it worthy. But what about the video that I want to speak for David here, but we all loved and we joked around, Bill Curtis voiced it over, right? Where they put a dome on Soldier Field. Because here's my biggest issue is, we're getting rid of Soldier Field. That part I don't like about this whole thing. How much is that project? How much, you know, like, instead of the current project, like, how much was that project? And is that project completely off the table? I wonder, because we're talking about the big ask. And if we were to put the dome on Soldier Field, would the Bears still be in for $2.5 billion?
I don't think that's realistic. Yeah. I think that was all kind of a fantasy land thing.
I don't think that any other options are realistic at this point because of the timing. The reason we saw this yesterday, a day before the NFL draft, is because time is of the essence and time is money, and you can't waste any more of either. And so yesterday what we saw was impressive. It was definitely an impressive presentation. Well-conceived, slick, well-executed. And you give the Bears credit for that. They definitely have their act together in presenting this clear image of what they envision about the future on the lakefront. I just don't know, as you heard from Governor Pritzker, I just don't know how practical it is. And I think we've got to deal with this grandiose vision of what you want this to be. And Kevin Warren articulates it as well as anybody ever has at Halas Hall. What do you want the future of the Bears to look like? We saw that, and it's great. I don't know how you responsibly can pay for that. I don't know how you are fiscally responsible is the way that you refer to the Bears and your leadership, and then suggest that there's still $2.3 billion. Half of the project is going to come from the public sector. And that, to me, is still a stop sign when you're talking about the enthusiasm and you want to get behind this. I wonder about, you know, how did they arrive at the $2 billion worth of pledging the money? Because if it's 3.2 or 3.2 to build the stadium, why did you stop at $2 billion? If you are really worth $6.3 billion, as Forbes estimates as an organization, do you have more to give? Is this a negotiation, perhaps? I don't know. A lot of questions unanswered. I think Governor Pritzker is exactly right about the appetite for this. in Springfield and maybe throughout the state. And I think Brandon Johnson's inclusion in this, in the process, is front and center as he is as much of a political ploy or a move as anything. And I think you have to be very cautious before you just dive in with both feet and say, okay, here's the blank check. We believe in what you're doing here. I think there are questions to be asked, and I look forward to talking to Kevin Warren at 7 o'clock.
I will open the floor up for questions after we have Charles Smith.
What is the bigger story? The Bears announcing plans for the $4.6 billion stadium project to remain on the lakefront, or the team selecting Caleb Williams number one overall in tonight's NFL draft, and why?
All right, so we're talking about the stadium project in all terms of conditions and couching our conclusions, and we're say this, if, then, and but. That's because it's a definite maybe. It's huge in scope. $4.6 billion in the city of Chicago for a dome stadium where the Bears will call home for Super Bowls and Final Fours on the lakefront? Are you kidding me? That is huge. But it's also, it's a concept. You know what's reality? Caleb Williams coming to Chicago. The Bears being better. The Bears opening that Super Bowl window, and it's wide open for the next 5 to 7, dream a little, 10 years. Because Caleb Williams becomes a Bear tonight. That's a big deal. That's a bigger deal than a maybe. This is a yes, sir. The Bears are back. And tonight at 7:15, Caleb Williams is introduced, hugs Roger Goodell, and everybody's high-fiving throughout Chicago because that's a bigger story.
Well, I agree. You know, wherever the Bears play, people are going to show up, and they're going to show up in droves, and the place is going to be sold out. Caleb Williams has the opportunity to set all kinds of records. And the best part about that is that he's not coming here as the number one draft pick to set those records. He's coming here to win. What he really wants to do is win. That's my takeaway on the guy. The guy is all football. The guy eats it, drinks it, sleeps it. He is football, football, football with another side of football, please. That's the biggest story, because as we've seen, unfortunately, on the quarterback that the Bears let get away, this league is all about the quarterback, and the Bears are trying to select the right one to lead them into the future.
This is a huge story, and it's a huge story. Caleb Williams being drafted, because it's tangible, because it's not theoretical. It's not something that, you know, maybe if we work the right people and work the room the right way, we'll be able to convince them to do. This is a guy that's coming in here. You've cleared the path. He's going to start at quarterback for the Chicago Bears come the first game of the season. And I would imagine he's going to start at quarterback for as long as he envisions. I think he's going to be here for years. And we're going to find out, you know, what are the flaws? What are the problems? What doesn't he do well on the field? All of that will be revealed. But you're also going to see a lot of the really great qualities this guy has. And you're going to see a professional offensive football team for the first time in forever from the Chicago Bears. I just think that because this is the move with the team on the field, this is the most important story going on right now. And the rest of it is probably more important for the future of the organization and how healthy they are and how much money the family makes and where the great grandchildren go to school. But the reality is that the product on the field, the player, the quarterback, the position itself, that's what's going to resonate with fans for the next 10, 15 years.
And there will be many people, whether you're here today or watching online or listening on the radio or reading the newspapers, that may have questions.
Are you digging the Caleb Williams Rome Odunze Mutual Admiration Society? How about Odunze revealing he did indeed catch passes from Williams along with DJ Moore and Keenan Allen in LA last week? So that wasn't fake news. Does it feel like these guys are about to be the Bears draft haul tonight in the top 10 of the NFL draft?
From the question on paper to the ears of God, my friend, if we can keep tapping into some religious stuff related to the Bears. That sounds great to me. That would be fantastic. Imagine that as your draft room. Imagine that as your wide receiver room. Imagine having those guys, and you throw in, you got a new running back, you got a tight end that can catch the ball, you got a new tight end. Look at what the Bears are building if they come away with that. I'm all for it. I love the idea of it. I like the fact that the two of them are kind of hanging together and having a laugh and jumping on Twitter and having a mutual admiration society. The idea of the two of them coming to Chicago together, sharing a plane ride to Chicago, I'm all for it. I think it would be fantastic. In case you missed it yesterday, the Detroit Lions signed a couple of players. I don't know if you saw the extensions yesterday. They gave up $230 million in contract extension to their offensive tackle, Penny Sewell, might be the best in the business, and to the younger brother, Amon-Ra St. Brown, the younger of the St. Browns. The Bears have the wrong St. Brown. But he's a super good player, and he's a Pro Bowl player. He's not the best receiver, and he's making more money if you look at the yearly contract stuff. Wide receivers are getting paid through the nose is the point.
Bears don't have his brother anymore.
And the Bears, thankfully, they let his brother go. Where's his brother gone?
Saints.
Okay. Well, he was here. Blocking.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
I can dig it. This is awesome. You know what else is awesome? And again, like we talked about this maybe in this segment 24 hours ago, maybe right at about the third question of the pick six. But so he did catch balls from Caleb Williams along with our guy DJ Moore and Keenan Allen in LA. I think that's like massive news and super cool. And I'm assuming they're like running the plays and using the verbiage already together. So that's really cool. And that quarterback room would be awesome. And I would dig it.
It was set up apparently by TJ Hushamazada, the former Bengals receiver that has a connection, I think, with Roma Dunze. And the fact that they were all three there working out with Caleb Williams, developing a quick rapport and chemistry, it definitely makes you feel like this would be a tremendous outcome if that's the name the Bears choose and hand in with the ninth pick, because of what it would mean to their offense and how it would give you a rookie contract for a wide receiver in sync with your rookie quarterback contract. There's so much to like about this scenario, and there's so much to look at in terms of guys like DJ Moore and Keenan Allen being receptive to not being WR1, not being the diva that we think of when we think of wide receivers. There's room for all three. It would be an elite wide receiver room, and let's hope this is an indication of what is to come. You can't guarantee he's going to be there. A lot of mock drafts say that Adunze could be gone by then, but if he's there, boy, does this relationship make that tempting.
I'm not talking necessarily about a pick six or something like that.
That's the voice of Brad Biggs. 9 a.m. today is Biggs time. Brad Biggs 9 with Mully and Haw. What will be the first unpredictable move tonight in the NFL draft that will ruin all the mock drafts done by the mock draft experts?
Well, I think the easy answer to that is everybody will latch on. Well, J.J. McCarthy is going to go and somebody's going to trade up to get him, maybe to be the Vikings. That could be the case. But unpredictable means what don't you expect to happen? I kind of expect that maybe to happen. I wouldn't be shocked if four quarterbacks are the first four picks of this draft because of the trade. But I think that where things are going to get really interesting, you see a couple. I talked to a guy yesterday have heard that I was in on Joe Alt and loved all the things about the Notre Dame left tackle. And I do. But the unpredictable part of tonight could be if Alabama's left tackle, J.C. Latham, goes before, if he's the first tackle off the board.
Wow.
That will push things down. That could shake things up. And if you're looking for something that you don't expect, expect the unexpected in the draft every single year. J.C. Latham going ahead of Joe Alt might be one of those things.
Well, I think the draft starts at number three, unless things go incredibly crazy and the Commanders don't draft the LSU quarterback. That would blow my mind if Daniels wasn't taken number two. I think five quarterbacks are going to. I think Michael Penix Jr. is going in the first round.
Sure.
And I think the other. Well, there's a lot of. I mean, when so you say sure.
No, he's going to go in the first round, but we're talking top right, 10.
We are?
No, I'm just asking. You said the draft's going to turn.
I think it starts at three. I mean, it really starts at three. The safest pick in this draft to me is Marvin Harrison Jr. Marvin Harrison Jr. Outside of injury, which you cannot, he can make the biggest impact the very first time he steps on an NFL field. He's got all of it. He's got everything his dad has, who's a Hall of Famer, plus 3.5 to 4 inches, which is huge in today's NFL. So I mean, whoever gets him, and again, let's not listen. Again, Bears, don't be afraid. To give the 9 and next year's and the rest of this year's draft and go get Marvin Harrison Jr. and then just be done with it. You know, and then just be done with the draft. Just get it all out of the way. Trade the 9, the rest of this year's draft, next year's number 1. Just get Marvin Harrison. Put the two of them on a plane back here and make it real simple.
Yeah, that would be a big move if something like that happened. Look. This is the reality of the draft. There are going to be 6 quarterbacks taken in the first round. Okay, there will be. Penix will go, and so will the kid from Oregon.
Bo Nix.
Bo Nix will go. That before the first round is over. There are teams desperate for quarterbacks. The question is whether they're going to get on their horses and they're going to start trading early. And I think that's what's that is going to be the real. The problem with having done tons of mock drafts, the problem is, once you are wrong about one player, it only takes one player, or a team moves and does something, that throws off your whole mock. I mean, the last 20 picks are impossible. Anybody, right now, we could sit here and we could come up with the top 6 players, and we'd have a good 90% chance of being right. I think we could probably go, you got a certain amount of run to you. But then when it ends pretty abruptly, and then you're all fouled up. And every once in a while, you get back on a team, and you can get back on a roll. But, you know, nobody is going to get more than, like, 14 players right. And if they do, out of the 32 first round, that's a hell of a mock draft. That's genius. Well done. Here's the reality of NFL drafts. There's going to be a run on the bank. There's going to be a run on quarterbacks early. Everybody wants to create a quarterback, make up a quarterback. We got to get a quarterback. This guy's going to do it. We're going to move and get him. That happens every draft. There's going to be a run on offensive tackles. There always is. That's one of the things that's out there, the idea that there's a bunch of teams are going to trade up for an offensive tackle. A bunch of teams need a tackle, got to get a tackle. There's going to be a run on defensive ends. There's only 4 of them in the first round. You're going to try to get as many of those players as humanly possible. There's a limited number of some of these positions. There's going to be a run on defensive backs at the bottom of the draft because some of these guys are going to fall, and you got a bunch of teams that know they need to improve their secondary, and they're going to make a series of moves at the end. So it's just a question of time before which position takes over. But the NFL draft is this kind of wild animal that can get out of the barn on you. And there are always players that the draft boards don't hold as popular as the experts. And I mean, the experts might think are more popular than the reality of how teams look at them. So, yeah, there'll be tons of surprises. It'll be fun. There'll be a lot of trades today, too. I'm predicting 5 draft day trades, which is a lot.
That's a good question.
What do you make of Cody Bellinger hitting the IL with not one but 2 fractured ribs on his right side after running into the wall on Tuesday night? How much will he and his 8-game hitting streak be missed, even with top prospect Pete Crow Armstrong coming up to help? Any idea how long Bellinger will be out?
That's a really bad injury. That is a bad injury. You know, you think about your ribs, they're curved, and, you know, they are designed so that you're not going to take a lot of abuse on them. I don't know if anyone's ever had a fractured rib, your ribs don't heal. Like, you can't put them in a cast. You can't figure out a way to get better. It just takes time. It's going to take 6 weeks before he's going to be able to breathe well. He's got two of them. I'm telling you, this is a bad injury. I had a fractured rib once, and it was as painful as any injury you're going to have. And it's awful to have that kind of an injury because there is very little you can do about it. It just has to kind of heal on its own. And, you know, the good news is it's just the bone that's fractured. There's not like there's nothing that's come off the bone. There's no torn, you know, cartridge in there or anything. So that's makes it easier. But this is going to take a while because there's really no way of making it heal faster. So I would imagine that he's going to be out for a little bit. And I would imagine that that they're going to feel that. You know, he's a great player, and he's just seemed like he was just getting going, just starting to really, you know, the 8-game hitting streak. They scored all their runs in the first inning yesterday. They got through one day. That's kind of how you have to approach this. This 16-game stretch now becomes more difficult.
Yeah, I mean, they started that 16 games and 16-day stretch. There was definitely language. I saw Pete Crow Armstrong coming up on X. I saw that first.
Yeah.
And immediately I knew why he was coming up, or at least I assumed, and I was right. I didn't know what the injury was. When I saw the injury, there was language again. It's disappointing, right? I mean, you know, you got to worry about that wall. You got to worry about the ivy. It's not fully in bloom yet.
You need the padding below the ivy?
Maybe you could put padding below and pull the ivy through, maybe. How much would that cost? And would the city or state have to get involved to pay for that padding?
Wow.
But it's disappointing. PCA doesn't have the bat, obviously, that Cody Bellinger has. And you got Suzuki out and Kyle Hendricks out. So the injury bug has bit the Chicago Cubs.
Yeah, Tyone, Steele, Hendricks, Suzuki, Bellinger. They've had all the injuries. You talk about Julian Merriweather. And look, the Cubs are 15-9. How are they 15-9? That's a good question. They've overcome these injuries, and I think they'll deal with this one. It's not great. Cody Bellinger's just starting to get it going. You don't really worry about him getting it going again unless this injury lingers. That's why you can't rush him back. If you do have grander plans this year, you want to take your time. Same with Suzuki. Same with Steele. Same with all of these injuries. The Cubs' depth is being tested right now. PCA is not here to be developed. He's here to help them win games. I liked that Craig Counsell reminded us of that. That means he might not play every day. That means he shouldn't play every day because he can't hit yet. He's still looking for his first major league hit, and he wasn't exactly tearing up tearing the cover off the ball at Iowa. So use him in specific situations. Use him in matchups that are conducive to him succeeding. And then do your thing, Craig Counsell, because this is why you're here, to do more with less, apparently, because the Cubs are dealing with injuries they didn't anticipate. Cody Bellinger is the worst one yet, though, because if he's out for 6 weeks, this is your MVP, your most valuable hitter, out for an extended period of time, and that's not good.
You can continue to talk about it, and you guys can continue to ask those questions, and I'll continue to answer it this way.
What happened to Garrett Crochet, who struggled again last night against the Twins? Is he no longer the White Sox best pitcher? If not him, who?
No idea who the White Sox best pitcher is. It's still Garrett Crochet, even though he hasn't been the same since his first two starts when we were impressed, like everyone else, watching him pitch. He says his stuff is still electric. They're just hitting it. That's not good. That's not good at all. What is going well for the White Sox? Nothing at all. I don't know who the best pitcher is. I know you're not supposed to say, I don't know, but you look at the White Sox. Do you know anything about the White Sox? No, except for they stink. 3-21.
As Ozzie would say, we stinks. Yeah, Garrett did not have a great night up there. Is this part of this, the fact that the White Sox stink and it's hard to get motivated and it's hard to compete when everything around you stinks? Is that part of this? Maybe I guess you better hope so as a Sox fan, because you don't want this kid ruined because the stench at 35th and Shields is getting so bad.
Yeah, I don't think that was Ozzie. I think you're thinking of the former Cubs pitcher.
We stinks.
Yeah.
Zambrano.
That was Carlos Zambrano. At any rate,
They still stink.
Yeah, they do stink. I think
who stinks?
I think Garrett Crochet is going through, you know, becoming a starter. He's a young guy. He got a lot of adrenaline for his first couple of goes at it, and you know, that was wonderful. And I think the reality of life is settling in a little bit, and things have gotten harder. I don't give up on him. I think you still plug him out there. The White Sox best pitcher right now is Eric Fetty. He's just pitching better than anybody else. Doesn't mean he's any good. But if you want to know who their best pitcher is at this minute, their best starting pitcher is probably Eric Fetty by default. So, okay, that's where you're at. They don't obviously have a lot. They don't have a lot of good players. They don't have a lot of good pitchers. They've got a lot of good minor leaguers, maybe. I don't know. Are we going to see Thorpe at some point?
I hope so.
Coming up? Probably.
I hope so.
Eventually. And I'm sure Nastrini will be back. He's going to miss a couple starts. And, you know, look, the Sox knew what this was when they got into it. And this is not a surprise to any of us that we didn't think they'd be able to score a run. And when they traded Dylan Cease, we didn't think they'd be able to pitch much.
Is it Jonathan Cannon?
No. No.
It's good fodder.
Yeah, I mean, like I say, they've got some young guys that you know, had one good start and then kind of failed on the second one. And I put Crochet, he's kind of like that too. They're all kind of the same type of player. But they're not going to eat a lot of innings. You're going to have to keep bringing people up, and you're going to have to, you know, is Mike Clevenger going to wind up being their best pitcher?
Their best pitcher
would be Trevor Bauer
if they
decided to sign him. I'm telling you, he's better than anyone they got on the roster. I don't want him. I'm just telling you that's the truth.
What a tangled web.
It is. It's
a tangled web that Crochet has woven.
A tangled web you weave when first you practice to deceive. And
I'm giving you all these puns. I'm throwing them out there for you.
I'm appreciative. I love it. I can't help but go to whatever the quote is. It's Mully and Haw. We've got the extra point next, the Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 The Score.
How about it? We just flat out stink.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Okay, it's not prediction time as much as it is recommendation time. Or how about both? There's no suspense over the number one pick. But what do you think the Bears will do with that number 9 pick, and what should they do? And are they the same thing?
Well, I think that we had a lot of fun the other day contemplating what the Bears would do with the first four picks of quarterbacks and what would they give up to move up. And that's still on the table, I suppose. They could have a conversation. It's unlikely, though. Marvin Harrison Jr. likely will not end up a Chicago Bear tonight. I don't think they move up. I don't think they give up the draft capital. I don't think they move down. I think ultimately what's going to happen is they'll consider moving down. They can talk themselves into moving down. But I don't think they should move down, and I don't think they will. I think they stay put. The draft will fall. There'll be a couple offensive tackles go. There'll be four quarterbacks go. Maybe a defensive player goes, and the Bears will be on the clock at 9. And they will take Roma Dunze. They will take the wide receiver from Washington who is very polished. He's NFL ready. Fan base is going to love him. Caleb Williams already does. They've got a quick chemistry and rapport. He's met his future teammates already. He's run routes with them, maybe even included a little verbiage, as Dustin alluded to. This is the smart play. Sometimes the best option is the obvious one. And this one will be glaringly obvious to Ryan Poles. At number 9, the Chicago Bears select wide receiver Roma Dunze from Washington. And everybody in Chicago can celebrate the Bears winning the draft.
I love that idea, David. We've also had Fantasy Island, if you will, about them trying to get up and get Marvin Harrison Jr. That probably won't happen, but wow, would tomorrow be awesome if that did happen. Here's what I think is going to happen. I think somebody's going to jump right in front of them and take Roma Dunze. That's what I think is going to happen. So now you're going to be sitting there at number 9. And if it doesn't go quarterback, 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 right away, if that doesn't happen and one of the quarterbacks that somebody is in love with is still there at number 9, then I think they might trade down, but not too far, not too far. And then we're going to find out how big of a say QB1 has in things. And if Roma Dunze gets taken off the board before the Bears have a chance to select him, this is what I predict happens. The Bears end up trading down, and the Bears, within the top 15 picks of tonight's draft, take the offensive tackle out of Penn State, Fashanu, the former teammate of Caleb Williams.
Yeah, okay. So the question is, what will the Bears do with the number 9 pick? What should they do, and are they the same thing? I will predict the Bears trade down from the number 9 pick. I wish they would stay there and take the wide receiver. I wish they would just accept whatever the gift is that they are given, be it an offensive tackle, be it a wide receiver. I would like them to stay at 9 and pick a player. And if it's Roma Dunze, if it's Rome Doomsday, I will be the leader of the parade. I will be delighted if they can get that clock started on Doomsday. I'm all for it. So go ahead and do that. But they won't. They will trade down. They will recoup some of their lost draft capital, and they will do that. And I feel sure they will do that because I so don't want them to. So it's just almost like, you know, Mulligan's Law. Whatever I require, whatever I really want is going to go wrong for me. They might end up being better for it. I don't know. They'll take a defensive player at, you know, 11, 12, and then they'll get another pick later on. So, I honestly think that they're going to try to get cute and not just take the gift that's given them.
So Mulligan's Law leads to Murphy's Law, and they take the defensive tackle from Texas?
Maybe it's him. I don't know how far he falls.
I don't either.
I think he's one of those guys, David, that probably is a bit of a unicorn and might go higher than people have predicted in the draft because he's such a solo type of – he stands alone at that position.
Ryan Poles wakes up this morning feeling probably like the most fortunate general manager in the NFL, but I hope he also feels convicted to not worry about – quantity and to focus on quality.
I hope you're right.
I hope that's the case.
I worry that you're not.
Because most executives are wired that way. They're thinking, well, we need the depth. We need to make this roster even harder to make.
When you are a draft guy and you are driven by being a draft guy and you've spent all this time on all these players, all you want is to take everyone. All you want is more bites at the apple. And if you got to do that, I would recommend trading your second-round pick from next year. Because you got two of them.
I think that's a good point. And also, this is where you talk about the defensive-minded head coach. This is the one time where I think this does matter. There's nobody really loudly in Ryan Poles' ear maybe to say, okay, just go for the wide receiver. Just go for one of those three guys if you can get them. I don't think you want to trade down. Stay at 9.
All right. 312-644-6767. That is our telephone number. We're going to get to your calls next. What do you want him to do? What's going to do? What did you think of the show yesterday? Are you hoping to get some bread? Are you anxious for some circus? Are you cautious about what the Bears have proposed? 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Caleb, who's the most famous contact in your phone?
Denzel Washington.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Happy draft day, everybody.
Happy
Caleb day.
Yes, both. Happy draft day. Caleb Williams, no matter what. He was there already on Wednesdays in Detroit. Dan Weider got that audio for the Take the North podcast, and he talked about Denzel Washington being the biggest name in his phone.
Pretty good name.
Then he told a story about going to Steak 48, and then Denzel being there, he couldn't get in. Caleb Williams had just gotten a haircut and was wearing a sweatsuit or something to that degree. And Denzel Washington saw what was going on, what the commotion was about, came in, read the guy the riot act, let him in, and then gave him some good advice. Not many prospects probably come into the draft tonight with that kind of profile.
It's pretty cool.
He's a celebrity. He's already a star, and he handles himself
that
way.
Was Denzel a football player? I know his son was a pretty good football
player,
right?
Yeah, I don't know the history of Denzel Washington's athletic career.
Yeah. He looks like he could.
He looks like he could.
Yeah, no question.
He looks like he could still probably, you know, hit you, get open, whatever's necessary. But Caleb Williams handled himself pretty well yesterday. The more you hear, the more you like. And you're going to really like what you see tonight, I think, if you're a Bears fan.
Yeah, I think it's going to be pretty exciting. I think it's going to be, you know, it's a very significant day for the future of the franchise. And we'll be talking to Kevin Warren in a little bit, and we can talk about the future of the franchise in terms of the stadium and what their plans are and how they're going to try to work that out. But the formation of the team, the heart and soul of the team begins tonight. Bringing in a new quarterback, obviously a young guy, but someone that teams have been waiting to draft for a long time. He's been waiting to be drafted for a while, and they've been waiting to get him.
A consensus,
yes,
number one overall pick. Somebody who talent evaluators who do this for a living agree is the best quarterback in maybe since Trevor Lawrence, maybe since Andrew Luck, maybe longer, who knows. But that's what makes tonight special. That's what makes this story, I think, bigger. Obviously, what happened yesterday, it's not often we come in and we have two monumental stories to address and to weigh
right.
And compare one to the other. But in this case, we had the Bears unveiling their plans for a lakefront dome stadium, which is huge, a $4.6 billion worth of huge. But today, tonight, this is more tangible, as you said. This is not conceptual. This is really happening. Caleb Williams is arriving.
The Bears have been searching for a quarterback since the creation of the forward pass. And they had one in the early days when they were winning titles. They had a halfback from Columbia? And they made him a quarterback, and that's Sid Luckman. And Sid Luckman still holds some of these records. Jay Cutler came in, and he holds some of the records, but they never really had this position completely solved. So the feeling is, the excitement is that maybe today, you finally get what you've been looking for lo these many decades.
The Bears have been looking for a franchise quarterback since they were not playing on the lakefront,
since
they were playing at Wrigley Field and other places. And I think that's how historic tonight will feel to a lot of Bears fans of a certain age, of any age, because the young ones know what Caleb Williams will be worth, and the older generation realizes what he means because they've never had one of those.
Yeah, and will they get a contract done? Maybe we'll ask Kevin Warren that question. Kevin Warren, the Bears president's in the building. We're going to talk to him next. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
If that doesn't make your teeth chatter, I don't know what will. Wow.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.